Welcome back to Threshold Radio. With us right now is our good friend Suzanne Taylor. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good, actually. Good things are happening in my little life with my movie, my Crop Circle documentary. So I got thinking that this week when we chat, maybe I'll just tell you some personal stories. Here I am, part of your family. So
yeah, we get all the inside gossip, right?
There's a little bit of gossip, a little bit of scandal, a little bit of whatever.
Oh, well, there you go.
But also a little good news. So you don't know this, John. You're hearing it for the first time. I have been communicating with Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, that's cool.
And the last email I got from her was, "Can you come to Chicago?" what? So we are conceivably on the way to fulfilling her promise. Actually, you know, I was on her radio show when she actually discovered my movie called What on Earth, and somebody told me, "I heard Rosie O'Donnell talking about your movie. She said everybody should watch it. She was blown away by it." So that led to Rosie having me on her show. She was doing a show on Sirius Radio prior to what she does now, which is this talk show on Oprah Winfrey's network OWN. And so I did a show with her. You know, believe it or not, I know your listeners will understand this. You know, when you go on Coast to Coast, here we are in the paranormal UFO rather world. When you go on that show, one of the wonderful things is if you have a product, you sell a lot of it. People do go buy it. Your listeners can go to cropcirclemovie.com to see my trailer and hopefully buy my DVD.
We won't crash your website like Coast to Coast will when you mention your name.
No, they don't crash it, but you really do well. I mean, you sell a lot, but believe it or not, when I was on Rosie's radio show, I sold even more than that. I've done Coast to Coast twice, and they've both been wonderful. But I even sold more when I did Rosie's radio show. And, you know, the Crop Circles have never, they've never had a television exposure. So they've never been on a television show other than early on shows like 60 Minutes or 2020. I'm not even sure which ones they were. But they would do these little sort of cynical pieces, very snide and, you know, eyebrows raised. And that was early on before the Crop Circles became such a subject of controversy with the hoaxing situation. At that time, it was just how hard it is to believe anything outside the box. That's what our segment is called. And, you know, everything outside the box raises eyebrows. And heaven knows, Crop Circles are way outside the box. So they have never done, I don't think they've had any talk show exposure. Now, the cable stations go out every few years, Discovery, National Geographic, History, where I'm on Ancient Aliens. I'm your Crop Circle expert, one of them on Ancient Aliens. But they also do straight Crop Circle shows. And they've never been the subject of Oprah, for instance. She never picked up on the circles. Larry King, he never did. Well, here we are, you know, this would really be a first. This would be a first time that we really get to talk about Crop Circles with me, you know, with somebody who knows about them, not the cable station people who really don't know what they're filming. And, you know, they have this cynical eye. And researchers in England have become very wary because they'll get interviewed by these stations. And they think they've just really been wonderful. They've done a great job. They've told all the fabulous things about the circles, and then they see the program and the little bits and pieces that have been cut and edited.
Yeah, and they make you look like a fool, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they've gotten very wary about even doing that. But this isn't that kind. This is the kind of thing where I can really, just like on your show, I can talk about crop circles. So keep your fingers crossed. You know, maybe you shouldn't even talk about things until then.
That would be great, because you can get on Rosie and you can mention how great our show is.
But of course. So that's one juicy thing on my plate. Another really good thing is that I think, again, don't jinx me, universe, for talking about things that are not absolute, signed, sealed, and delivered. But I do, we are headed for the probability that on April 19th, I'm going to be on Colorado Public Television. They're going to show my movie, and they're going to fly me in to do the pitch for their pledge drive. So I'll be on camera talking, and they'll show my movie. And it's never been broadcast. The movie itself has never had a broadcast situation. So that'll be the first. And public television's a fabulous, you know, venue. So I'm really excited about that. And then the other thing that is for sure, though, those are the possibilities, but the other thing that is for sure, did I tell you I got a license to produce a TEDx event?
Yeah, you were telling me about that. We didn't talk about it on air.
I remember if I told you. We haven't talked about it on the air, have we?
No, not on air, just privately.
No, so not everybody knows what TED is, but most people do, because if you're online, you constantly are getting exposed to these 18-minute talks. That's all they can do at these TED events is 18 minutes. And they've had, you know, the most famous people in the world doing those 18-minute talks, and also, you know, people who are not famous that you don't know about. But then they have these satellite situations where there are many cities across the world, actually, not just even the United States, and they call it TEDx. So there's TED in my neck of the woods, there's TEDx Santa Monica. I don't know if people know the LA scene here, but we have a lot of kind of municipalities within the larger Los Angeles area, and they have separate names. So TEDx Santa Monica, TEDx Pasadena. We already have those established. Well, I'm going to be TEDx West Hollywood, and they're so strict. I mean, the brand is very powerful. John, do you know what it costs to go to the main TEDx event, which they hold out here in California once a year?
Oh, to be somebody in the audience, you mean?
Yeah, to be in the audience. First of all, you have to apply. They're sold out for this year. It's coming up in a month or so, but they're sold out. And you'd think it was a bargain, right? They're sold out.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it costs?
I have no idea.
It's 4 or 5 days. I'm not quite sure how long it is, about 4 or 5 days. You have no idea?
Not a clue.
I don't even know if I should have you guess. You wouldn't even know how to begin to guess.
No, judging by what you're saying, I'm saying it must be quite a bit.
It is quite a bit. It's more than quite a bit. It's $7,000.
What? To attend it?
$7,000 to go to listen to 18-minute talks. That's not what I'm going to do. I can only charge $100. They have rules. If you're going to be a first-time satellite producer for them, my talks are supposed to be as good as the talks at the main event. In fact, I've applied to be a speaker at the main event, not the one in Long Beach. It's a technology theme this year, and I don't really have anything to say personally about my use of technology. I mean, I would have to say, get John Stevenson to
there you go.
Talk with me. Well, tell you about technology.
I volunteer if you want me to. You just call right up.
Yeah, right. But they have two other places where they do big events. One is in Europe. I actually don't know where. Belgium, maybe? But that's what I applied for, and it's a ways off. It's not till fall, so I haven't heard anything back. But in the course of, somebody said, you should be a TED speaker. And, of course, everybody knows on your program what I talk about. I talk about crop circles. But then I talk about, I actually don't just talk about crop circles. I talk about how they can change the world and how important they could be if we paid serious attention to them. And that's, you know, why I'm interested in them. The talk would be objectively about crop circles, but it would really be about changing our worldview. So I didn't even know there was this thing TEDx, but when I poked around looking for how to apply, you know, trying to follow the encouragement I got to be applied to be a speaker, I found this TEDx thing, and I filled in an application, and lo and behold, I have a year to produce an event. It will be local to my area. I have to go through all their bells and whistle hoops, you know. I have to be a very, I have to honor their brand and do it just like they've told me how to do it. It's a big deal. So
yeah, TED's got some amazing talks. I've been watching that for a while. I mean, I absolutely love their talks. But I sure as heck never going to be in their audience at $7,000 to see.
Can you believe it? They're sold out.
That's crazy.
I mean, really, really. I actually have applied to be in the audience for a cheap one that they're doing at USC. USC was University of Southern California here, Los Angeles. They were the originators of the whole TEDx thing, and they run a very large auxiliary event, TEDx event. They run an event for, I think, 2,000 people. They have approximately 5,000 people applying, and it's a nominal charge, under $100. And it's a day-long event, and they give you lunch. I mean, you know, as conference events goes, that's not expensive at all. And so I have applied to be in the audience at the USC event. So anyway, so these are the good things that are either for sure happening to me or hopefully happening, on the verge of happening to me. But something else quite wonderful happened this week. So you know, it's not our normal paranormal topic where, you know, we talk about something in the more, if I say woo-woo, I don't mean it bad. I mean, you know,
right.
Juicy woo-woo. But something wonderful happened that I like to think of as outside the box because it's something that I have been working on since 1979. And if you sort of consider my life to be the box, boy, did this go outside it, because I finally had success that with a situation since 1979. I mean, can you believe this? Now you all know I'm, you know, I'm not 20 years old. I was already grown up in 1979. But here's what happened. I had a really good friend. He was actually the best friend of a best friend of mine. And, you know, the way you get to be friends with your friend's friends.
Right.
He didn't live in L.A. He was from Little Rock, and as was my friend originally. And so he was acting as a kind of financial advisor to me. He was a very savvy guy, and he had some kind of business, which, you know, at the time, I never quite understood it, so I'm certainly not going to be able to explain it to you now. But he had a lot of employees, and at one point, he called me up, and he said, how much money have you got in the bank? Well, at the time, I just happened to have, you know, I don't know, I always have a nest egg, you know, what would happen on a rainy day, you know. So I've always had a little cushion that I have parked somewhere or invested somewhere and invested in something that hopefully will pay me some interest or even appreciate in value. But I was just moving my nest egg from one place to another, and it was sitting in the bank. So, you know, I'm a really good-hearted person. I said, oh, I'm so happy I have money for you. You have a short-term cash flow problem, eh? You can only need it for 2 weeks max because you need to pay your employees. Oh, no problem. I'm so happy I can help you. I'm laughing at myself. Okay. Well, of course, you know what happened. He got my nest egg, and I never got it back.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. I hate to tell you how much it was. It was tens of thousands of dollars.
Ugh.
Okay. So the first thing that happened was telephone call. He didn't live in L.A. He used to visit a lot. In fact, he was trying to be a seminar leader for business seminars. I was trying to help him become a success as a business seminar leader. So now he has all my money and he can't pay me back. He says, don't worry. I'll write you a paper and I'll just keep it for, let's say, a year, but I'm going to pay you 15% interest. Well, hey, you know, this wonderful person, I love him so much. I'm so happy to help him. Oh, well, okay, but okay, 15%. I mean, that's very good. It's okay. Make 15%. Okay. Next phone call. I discovered because his best friend is my really best friend. I'm actually about to go to a meeting in Sausalito, and that's where my best friend, my good friend, lives, and I'm actually going to be staying with him. But this is his best friend. Okay. So I hear from my best friend, he's in difficulty. Well, I knew he was in some difficulty, or he would have paid me back in 2 weeks. But no, he's in some difficulty, and everybody is suing him. Oh, dear. Apparently, he owes money to other people. Everybody is suing him. But, hey, this is a wonderful person. So I write him a little letter. We weren't on email then, you know. There was a message.
Right.
So I wrote him a note, wrote him a letter. Sweetheart, I believe in you. I trust you. I know everything's going to be fine. And whatever. So, okay, then I get the next phone call. Now he's from Little Rock. It's got a southern accent. Darling, I got your note. Oh, darling, I put it up in my refrigerator. That's the nicest note I ever got. Thank you so much. That was so sweet and wonderful. Okay, hang up that telephone call. Okay, little time goes by. Next telephone call. Darling, you're not going to like this. Uh-oh. Darling, I'm going bankrupt.
Including you?
Including you. Oh, what? Wait a minute. You go bankrupt against businesses. I mean, I think it's a horrible thing to do anyway, but whatever.
Yeah, not against people.
It's legal. Okay. But you don't go bankrupt with your friends' money. No. You redeclare that. You better redeclare that. And now I'm talking to the business advisor, right? I'm giving you business advice, right? Well, no, I'm not going to do that, darling, because, you know, I wake up in the morning and I worry that you're going to sue me. And I don't want to worry. It really depresses me to worry. So I'm actually going to remove the debt, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's the worst thing that anybody ever did to me financially. And so ever since then, that was 1979, 1980. I've got this note, yeah, this useless note now because he's bankrupt, doesn't owe me anything anymore. But I am rather relentless. And I, every whatever I email him, sometimes he ignores me. Sometimes he says, you know, if I ever had the money, I'd pay you back. Uh-huh. So, but then I notice he used to be my good friend. Now he doesn't talk to me anymore. Does he send me birthday cards? Does he send me flowers on Mother's Day? Does he do anything in gratitude? No, no. He treats me like I'm hostile to him now, or like he's hostile to me, which is an interesting thing that people do when they get out of integrity. They create hostility, which is a whole other track, whatever. But we're going somewhere because this is outside the box and this is going to have a good ending. So then I discover, now we're going through decades here. Okay. So now then I discover, oh, a while ago, a couple of years ago, he has another business. And his business has branches. And it has something to do with green cards and immigration and whatever. A very public business where people are going to search for him.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we're a couple years ago, and hey, you've got a business. How come you're not? You said you would pay me if you. No, no, I need all my money. Can't pay you. Still, no birthday cards, no nothing. Can't pay me. But then I discover online ripoffreport.com where you, whatever you post on Ripoff Report. And this is good for your listeners. Listeners, here's your education. This is good for all of you who have really been done dirt, whether it's a company that did it to you or a private person that did it to you. Whatever it is, you can write it up on Ripoff Report. And Ripoff Report gets up high on search engines. So it's a wonderful threat you can make to people. They can go on. They can go look it up. Listen. So this, now I can email. I don't have to write letters anymore and put stamps on them. So I email him and I say, listen, I know you really want to pay me back a lot when you can, but I'm really impatient now. And the truth is, I'm going to write this up on Ripoff Report if you don't handle it now. I got a very, very big check. But I also, here's kind of the funny thing in life. I don't know, funny may not be the word. I got, now his lawyer is talking to me. And his lawyer is writing to me. And his he's really writing letters, actually. He's not emailing me. He's writing letters. And the letters are to the effect of course he doesn't owe you this. But just out of the goodness of his heart, my client, who is so generous, wants to pay you.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Very goodness heart. Yeah, very. Oh, yes. I love his heart. But indeed, I got a huge check.
And that was after now, 30 years, you said?
30 years. 30 years it took, right.
See, that this is outside the box. This is paranormal, definitely.
Right. I thought this really fit into some kind of paranormal story, but it's useful to your listeners, too, because this Ripoff Report is very powerful. And it's they have it very, very, what would we say, intelligently conceived. Because, you know, if once you've got something up there, you could imagine that the people you've written about would be very upset. And they would perhaps threaten you to take it down. They would perhaps, you know, whatever it is they could threaten you with. If you don't take it down, I will blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You can't take it down. You can amend it. You can write a P.S. They paid me, or I feel okay about him. Oh, you know, you can say nice things about him. Say whatever you want to say. But they will not take anything down. So no matter how, you know, aggravated somebody gets or a company gets, they can't get you to take it down. They can't, you know, no threat they can issue against you can have any effect because you can't get it down. They won't take it down. So, listeners, maybe you can send in your success stories to John. And I like to hear that. You know, I like to hear that this is a good deal for people. that I've actually passed along something really helpful. I mean, I'm all into helping the world, you know. That's why I'm interested in crop circles, because they can change consciousness, and we need to change consciousness. So if I can, you know, help people by recovering their loss, whatever. And it's not just money, you know. You know the terrible things when we really get angry when companies won't take our product back or whatever, you know, all the horrible things we...
That we all go through, too.
Or they sell us terrible products, you know. They cheat us somehow. So Ripoff Report is your destination, folks.
I've actually used that twice, too. I don't want to mention the company names or anything, but I've actually used it twice, too. I've been furious with a cell phone company and another thing, and I wrote nice little things on Ripoff Report.
Right, right. Now, did you ever get any satisfaction, John? Did you ever get anything? I mean, were they responsive to the fact that you posted about him, or you just got it off your chest?
I just got it off my chest, unfortunately. Unlike you, I didn't get any money back, but it made me feel better.
Yeah, it does. Well, it does. And you feel like you've kind of done your civic duty when somebody does you dirt, and rather than just kind of lick your wounds. It does. It feels good just to put it out in the world. Like, let the airwaves take it. Let the ethereal, you know, be vibrating with this justification for yourself, you know. So anyway, those are my stories for the day, for the night,
for the week. Well, that was outside the box, definitely.
And keep your fingers crossed for me on Colorado Public Television. And next time we talk, John, hopefully we'll have, you know, good reports to follow up on that.
Yeah, I hope you get on both of those, because then you can mention me on both of them.
Yeah, really, really. Well, you know, my pleasure, really, really.
Okay.
I do enjoy this. I think you do a good job on this show, so.
Thank you. Sometimes it's a lot harder than people realize.
Yeah, well, yeah, really.
From week to week, it's sometimes a nightmare to arrange these amazing guests we get for everybody every week. So I hope everyone appreciates it.
Well, I sure do. And I know other people who've been listening to me on your show appreciate it a lot. So applause for you, John. And until we meet again.
Okay, thank you. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, that was Suzanne Taylor's Outside the Box. We hope you enjoyed the show. We're on theedgeonair.com every Friday from 10 p.m. on. Also, Sundays, you can catch us here, ufo-info.com, 7:30 p.m. We're always here. See you next week.